Here we are again at the Positive Herpes Podcast, the show where we spread positivity, knowledge, and passion like herpes. It's a metaphor. Don't take it literal. Today I'm sitting with my good buddies Ronan Souza and Lala Yasmin.
Kaya.
I wasn't sure, you know. But we're here at the lovely abode down here downtown Santa Cruz, where I love to play. And today we're going to be talking about nutritional health, food preparation, basically the importance of why it is important to pay attention to what you're putting into your body and how it'll fuel you throughout your day. So what's up, Ronan? How you doing?
Again, it's an honor to be back. And this is a subject matter which we've talked about a lot with our friend group. And something that's very important right now for Western society for sure, but if not the whole world. And that is food health, but food sustainability, food justice issues. It's all interrelated, of course. But not only supporting the functionality of your body, but supporting the structure around food, its distribution, the economics behind it. And so I would like to cover several different angles around the whole structure of health and nutrition.
Awesome. And Lale?
Hi, I am Lale, and I have a master's in art history and also vegan chocolate making. And I care very passionately about what I put into my body and also the process that happens before that, the actual end product. I put my heart and my soul and my tears and my anxieties sometimes even in things that I create, things that are edible, things that are nutritious. And even if I can't get to an actual plant myself and the actual seeds, I try to be very intimate with what I put in my hands and how I use my hands to create what I'm going to be eating and feeding the people that I care about the most.
Awesome. I think it's super important. I mean, again, we always talk about this, but just the food, like, it's important where it comes from. I wouldn't want to grow something or pick something that's growing next to like a power plant or like a waste plant. Yes. You know, you want the nutritious soil. You want the loving care that goes into taking care of something.
Mm-hmm. And also not the pesticides.
Absolutely not the pesticides.
And not the genetically modified organisms either, which is something that the United States of America definitely faces an issue with, because GMOs are allowed in our food supply, which is totally not okay.
Yes.
Is it okay with you?
It's not okay with me. Let it be known on air that Lale Kaya is my partner. To give the audience a little background, we are both into health because of a lifelong journey of being very active people. I have my first degree is in kinesiology, I am also a mixed martial artist.
Real quick, for anyone who doesn't know, kinesiology.
Kinesiology is the study of body movements, study of muscle movement. And so the field is broad. It's everything from being a chiropractor to being a strength and conditioning coach to being a massage artist. It's quite a holistic field, actually. That's why I chose it.
Right.
So we both came at health from different angles, but the passion is similar, and that's actually one of the intrinsically important parts of our relationship.
Was there a certain turning point where you're like, I gotta start paying attention to my health, or has it been like a lifelong endeavor of just...
There was definitely a turning point, and it's a two-word phrase. It's Santa Cruz. I went to UC Santa Cruz as an undergrad, and I started thinking about the way in which I was eating within the first month that I was there, and there was a lot of propaganda for going vegetarian or vegan. And I myself right now am not vegetarian and I'm not vegan, but I used to be before an injury that I had. And as I began my undergraduate career in 2008, I really started thinking about what I was eating. Things became much more complex as my undergrad career progressed. And when I graduated and when I went to a grad program, I really started thinking about what I was eating and this whole idea of GMOs and not eat, what is a GMO. It was all very, it's something that just most recently came out, I would say. I think I didn't start thinking about GMOs until 2012, maybe 2011, but I was not aware of it at all.
Yes.
Right around the end of the world.
Yeah.
And in America, too, I find that with my travels in Europe, I found that they were a lot more versed in what was going on with mm-hmm. GMOs. And that's, again, a product of, look what we've done with the legislation behind GMOs, right? Mm-hmm. It's a travesty, really. And by the way, I am not against all GMOs, though, and that we can perhaps go into that.
It's just a tricky phrase, I think.
Yeah. Good topic to start with.
Let's do a little GMOs, because I mean, from my understanding, the three of us sitting in this room, the three of us are GMOs. Our parents got together, they modified their own organisms by mating and creating us, which would be a blend of their two organisms.
Yes.
So I mean, it can cover quite a broad spectrum of organisms.
I think what Lale, if I could speak for us, Lale and I are after is the a full spectrum analysis of what is going on with the manipulation of genes. Specifically, if what sort of chemical properties they're using to compose these new cultivars, and also long-term testing. And of course, this goes into animal rights, but I am an advocate of testing on animals.
I'm not.
She's not, and that's okay.
Because I come from a strong history of being vegetarian and then vegan for almost 4 years.
Subtle clash there.
It's pretty epic.
If anything, I think people should be testing on other humans.
Do some human testing.
Yeah, and then that goes into humanitarian rights, but I would much rather be okay with having volunteer humans being paid to test products rather than choosing a rat or even a monkey or a dog or a pig to test products on when they don't actually have a choice.
I'm going to agree with her there, and I'm actually challenged on air, and I feel very humbled. We haven't talked about this. This is great. It's coming out over there. But
I agree with that, too. I mean, if there's a human willing to test a product, and there's always going to be one, let them do the test.
Pro-choice.
Yeah, I mean, these animals can't speak for themselves, and there's no Lorax for the animals, so. It just reminded me of, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Dick and Jane with Jim Carrey.
No, I haven't.
So there's this part where his wife, like, they need money, so she goes, like, to test pharmaceuticals, and her whole, like, face swells up because she has this enormous allergic reaction to, like, the beauty cream.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But she got paid, so she
beauty
was happy.
Cream, that's also something that comes up into a conversation of health. I, as a woman, I identify as a heterosexual female, and in terms of beauty cream and products that women put on their face, I think there's a level of okayness and a level of not okayness, and it's very simple. Is the product that you're putting on your face almost entirely derived from plants? Or fruits or vegetables? Or is the product that you're putting on your face, if you read the back of the label, is it composed of ingredients that you cannot actually pronounce? And those beauty products, I would say, the ones in which you cannot pronounce and you have no idea what
it
is. Yeah, same thing even with food labeling. Avoid things in which you cannot pronounce. If you're rubbing them on your body, especially if you're rubbing them on your body, because anything that you rub on your skin can go into your bloodstream.
Yeah.
So if you're using a shampoo that's derived of all of these different things, why would you want that to go into your bloodstream, and then why would you want to excrete that out back into the earth when all that you really want to do is give back to the earth what she gave to you?
Absolutely.
Especially same thing with food. Avoiding packaged processed food that you buy at a convenience store. And Ryan and I are very, very aware of the way in which food makes us feel and how certain ingredients work for us and certain ingredients don't work for us. And do you want to talk about the things that don't work for you?
Yeah, and this is now talking about epigenetics, too, as well. It kind of loosely touching on
it. I really love epigenetics, especially because everyone's loosely touching on it, and I'm waiting for an expert in epigenetics.
Oh, gosh.
But I touch away.
But by no means will I feel try to fill the role of expert on epigenetics, but I am a perennial experimentalist with food. And I have been so since the age of a very young age, since consciousness was really alive in me as a very young boy because of the sports that I played. But to talk about what she's talking about, how food makes you feel, that is in a sense a form of epigenetics. Epi is above or beyond, essentially. And genetics, of course, is your basic code framework that you're given in this human body form. So it's essentially finding keys for which to unlock mechanisms to alter, to adapt your human body form. And this is where, of course, food comes in a very intrinsically important part, because it is fuel and it is used for the expression, the functionality that a human wants in their body. And so
food is most certainly fuel. And one can realize this too when you go backpacking or you go camping. You only stop on that trail really when you're absolutely parched from thirst, or if you need more energy to keep going so that you can get to your actual sleeping point, your camping.
Well, especially if you're foraging out there, like if that's your means, then it becomes really...
Especially. And I think the important thing is to always remember that moment if you've experienced going on a very long hike or backpacking for several days. It's very important that as you're living your daily life in a modern contemporary world I'm guilty of not always doing this too, and that's part of the issue with today's world, is that are you eating for hunger or are you eating for mere pleasure? And if you were on that trail right now, would you eat 3 bananas with a bunch of homemade cashew butter with homemade raw chocolate? I don't think so, right. You know, if you were on that trail. Or if you were on that trail, would it mean that all that you needed to keep going was, you know, like a good glass of cold filtered stream water? And maybe that's all that you would
coupled with some good berries that you picked, right? Some salmon berries are fantastic in Oregon.
Are you guys knowledgeable on your wild vegetation?
Yes.
Oh, man, I got to go hiking with you.
Actually, yeah. And we could do a hiking setup one time.
I would love to.
Did the speakers address the epigenetics thing? I feel like we can cover that a little bit more. Because you're
I sidetracked, but go ahead.
But she's talking about very important parts, of course, the sensitivity, one's tunability to the food that they eat. But this also ties in, we can kind of weave it back into epigenetics, and that is, it is the culture, the social structure and the environment around the individual. This is where epigenetics comes in. And there's a tremendous amount of ability to give the body a new form. You're given a basic loose structure, your bone structure, your musculature. Your musculature is kind of a little bit genetically encoded. Of course, your eye color, these kinds of things. But as far as the composition of your body, as far as the density of your bones and the expansion of the muscles and just like the vibrancy of the skin, all this stuff is epigenetics. This is culturally induced by and large. So there's incredible power in being able to change something you're not happy about with your health. And we can talk about many ways for which to do that.
Okay. So we kind of have a lot of things to talk about. Should we start with, I wrote dirt to dish, basically the penultimate way of getting the food onto your plate.
Yes, this would be a great
thing. And then we'll go from there.
I know the penultimate way for what it is for Ryan. Ryan strives to be actually at the source of the ingredient.
Mm.
That means the actual seed. And he wants to become and be one with the process of planting the seed and watching it grow and nurturing it and watering it and making sure she gets enough sunlight. And then harvesting it and washing the excess dirt off it and then...
eating a little bit of the dirt. Just
right. And then,
good.
Yeah.
And then...
we'll talk.
Either him, you know, cutting it and chopping it and cooking it himself, or him handing it off to me to create in some kind of gluten-free raw pizza or pesto sauce or blackberry ice cream, cashew cheese sandwiches, or
ice cream without the sugar, by the way. Mm-hmm. I have to add that disclaimer.
And
she'll explain how we can make that.
And that process for Ryan and I, the intimacy is something that we both really want to have with our food. And although right now we're not at the initial source, the actual seeds, we do our very best to be closest to the initial source as possible.
And so some of the things we do is we go and we forage.
Right.
Foraging, being the locavore, right, is something that's incredibly fun. If you have time to do it, get on your bike and look up fallenfruit.org, for example.
Fallingfruit.org is a very interesting, fun website. You can plug in your address of the location that you are at, and this website literally gives you a Google map of where you are with a bunch of colored dots, and the colored dots signify certain different types of fruit trees or vegetable trees or even dumpsters.
Even dumpsters, yeah. And I've dumpster dived, by the way.
All that you have to do with your cursor is you hoover, I think that's the proper English word, you hoover over the colored dot, and it tells you the location and the address and what's available, like lemons or apples or figs.
These are abundance producing apps available.
That is amazing.
Yeah, fallingfruit.org.
So you guys are like going all over the place foraging, and you're on this website.
A little what we can tell you over the air, and we can talk more off air, is that we do enjoy going to spots where fruit is overhanging onto public places. Mm.
Yeah, and makes it public property.
The extra right. plentitude that's there is
and
there.
And it also hurts both of our hearts when we see a bunch of peaches, when peaches were in season, and they're in someone's like front yard, but they're all getting bruised and they're falling all over the floor and no one is taking care of it. And it's like, well, you know, I have a neighbor, I have a friend, I have this really cool like raw peach tart idea to make. Like, so It's sad to see people that are actually at source with a beautiful garden and a front yard, and they're letting all their peaches rot and fall apart.
It's like, why are you even taking care of it? We're in a drought. You just eat the food that you're producing.
Yeah.
Or give it to someone.
So we think of it as somewhat contributing to sustainability and recycling and using all the resources as much as possible. And another way that we're really, really close to source is that we intimately know the farmers that we engage with because we support farmers markets. Yeah. And it almost, I think the most worst thing that could happen to Ryan and I is if we're both working and we can't go to the farmers market that day. It's like, that's the end of the world, because it's like, man, then I have to go to a grocery store, and I'd much rather, you know, support the farmers market and maybe pay an extra dollar or so. But at least I know that these people are taking care of, their primary source, most intimate and sacredly and spiritually.
Let me paint a little more to this. Part of the reason why we're not growing our own is because of structural pressures here.
Thank you for saying that.
As we talked about, I'm in a studio that we are sitting in presently that is not even 150 square feet. And the surrounding landscape around the studio is tremendously small, and there's certain laws that say I cannot grow certain things, which is a travesty.
Yeah.
And there's also a gardener too who's in charge of the property management, who sprays every plant with Miracle-Gro.
With Miracle-Gro, yeah. And you know,
and that's something that we do not want to put in our bodies, and we've definitely considered moving too, so that we're not even breathing Miracle-Gro in the surrounding facility. Yeah. But finding housing in Santa Cruz is very difficult.
Right. And I can attest to that.
That's a topic for another time.
I just wanted to give them a little context for why we are foraging and why we're going to farmers market. So the bulk of our material is coming from farmers market.
Mm-hmm.
We do go to some high-end stores because they have access to some really good quality health products that come from different areas. We try to limit our food that's coming from long distances, but let me be honest and tell you that all parties that are here really enjoy cacao. We are
cacao. Go cacao.
Yeah, that is our ceremony. We are going to partake in that today with a larger community, and we try to support high quality companies as much as possible. We're still looking into Navitas and
Divine Organics.
Divine Organics and.
And even Sun Foods.
Yeah, to a lesser degree, Sun Foods. But these are really, from our experience, these are really good quality products, and we don't hear of any food justice issues around
them. A side note, though, on quality products and cacao. In my experimentation with raw cacao powder, the most best cacao powder that one could actually eat would be by the company Earth Circle Organics, who are based out of Grass Valley.
Yes.
For me, Earth Circle Organics, my taste buds think that they're definitely processing their cacao beans at a very low, low temperature.
The coldest process, we feel.
In contrast to Navitas Naturals, in which you can actually taste the heated texture of the cacao bean within the cacao powder.
And by the way, if I may add, my partner actually tastes the actual raw powder itself or the bean. She takes it and puts it in her palate and allows it to absorb. So she does the real. We're not mixing it. Well, we eventually mix it. But
sometimes a heaping tablespoon of cacao powder in my mouth.
Getting intimate on the personal level, yeah. Making sure you know exactly what it is at the base.
And I've definitely experimented with cacao powder in terms of the lower process temperature, which is by Earth Circle Organics, and by a higher temperature processing by Navitas Naturals. Earth Circle Organics binds very well to raw cacao butter and raw coconut oil, unrefined coconut oil. And however, it doesn't bind the greatest to things like peanut butter or homemade almond butter or sunflower seed butter or even sheep or cow yogurt. Mm. And I'm not a chemist myself, and I don't know why the reason that is. Navitas Naturals cacao powder, which is processed at a little bit of a higher heat, binds much better to other processed ingredients. When I say processed, it literally means like homemade processed hazelnuts or something of the like.
Yeah, let's be clear. We live in a blend culture here. My partner is a culinary artist, if I may say.
Did you like the raw soup you just had? You still have a little bit in your jar.
Yeah,
I was going to bring it up, but it's been brought up. So this is delicious. It was described to me as a savory smoothie.
Yes.
It's got cauliflower in it.
Yes, it
as
does.
As the main ingredient.
Yes, and local heirloom tomatoes.
Delicious. I can taste that.
And local dill.
So yeah, what else is in here?
Avocados that Ryan picked up from two farmers from Santa Barbara. There's one avocado in there. Some cumin. We wish that we would have got the cumin ourselves and grown it in our hands. But the particular thing about that cumin, it's an interesting story. I do not support plastic whatsoever, and I don't like gasoline. Ryan and I have two bicycles, and that cumin, I purchased that cumin by taking a empty clean spice jar, a glass spice jar, put it in my bike crate, and I biked to a grocery store, a local like mom and pop grocery store. I don't necessarily always like to support huge corporations. Right, I'm not going to name any names.
Oh, well, but we will name a local store here, and that's a shout out to the Herb Bin.
The Herb Bin, yeah.
Yeah,
Herb Room.
I'm sorry.
And the food bin.
The food bin. Yeah. Forgive me.
The food bin and the Herb Room.
Yes, sorry.
And so what I do is I put that clean glass empty spice jar in my bike crate. I pedal on over to the Herb Room, and I use one of their clean spoons, and the Herb Room has all of their bulk herbs in large glass mason jars, and I go to the cumin jar, I stick in a clean stainless steel spoon, and I fill up my spice jar, and then I pedal back home, and then I make my friends like Nate this awesome soup. And I did not purchase any packaging to get that.
So again, we are attempting to be conscious with the stewardship of the resources that we have.
And you guys always, like, I'm always so inspired by the both of you, because when I move here, I'm actually thinking about making some big moves and doing what you, I mean, I have a giant dog. I still think I need my car until I realize I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But in the meantime, if I'm not moving her around, I really think, like, I'm just going to be riding my bike all over the place.
Good.
Or skateboarding, because I do love skateboarding.
Good.
Please,
And, you know, pack up some glass mason jars in your backpack on your skateboard and go to the food bin and get yourself some fatty nuts almonds.
This is her form of activism, too. And I can say that because there's not many young peer groups around here that are doing, to the extent that Lale's doing, she is attempting to cut the distribution chain of plastic, which is tied to petroleum.
It really is. It's this nation runs on gasoline, and gasoline makes plastics, and petroleum makes plastics, and
these have an epigenetic influence on our health as well. So she's attempting to cut that out of
you
our
too,
lives.
You too, sweetheart. You too.
I'm not as on point as her.
It's impressive. I was hanging out last night and just enjoying a quick hour over here, and I found out that they just finished their last plastic product in the whole house.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan did. It was not mine. I did not purchase plastic at all.
It was definitely mine, and it came from the days of when I used to live in a van, so it's kind of hard to do the glass thing when you're mobile, but, you know.
It was an organic mustard seed bottle.
Mustard seed bottle.
In which I then had a conversation with Ryan about how to make your own mustard sauce.
Oh, wow.
Which, yeah. And so we're attempting, and as you can see around the studio, it's very small, to kitchenette. Here's a woman.
It's a lovely studio. Don't downgrade it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm still able to make everything that I wish that I could.
You guys got your work center. You guys got your sleep center. You guys got your clothing center.
Yeah.
You got your creature comfort center.
Definitely.
So, I mean, what else do you need?
It's health and happiness, right? That's what we're here.
And a really large, large garden.
That's
a community garden,
in which
many people would be allowed to come to and contribute to.
Right, and this
with
goes
a fire pit and a place where you can have potlucks.
Is that right here, on property?
No, oh. that's what we're
a
after.
Wish, a dream.
Oh, yeah. What else could you ask?
And that's the podcast for intentional community building in this area.
That will be a whole nother podcast.
Right, we'll tie it into that. But for audience viewers that are curious about specific foods or sort of. Protocols. I don't want to use the word protocols, but different means for which to get the optimal health in their life. There's so many different little tools that we would love to share.
And plastic, keeping with the plastic subject, just so that we can finish that properly, because I don't feel like we didn't do it justice. Ryan and I, we don't purchase plastic products, but we do when we don't have a choice. And that when we don't have a choice, those are instances like cacao butter. Ryan loves cacao butter, and unfortunately, we have not seen yet, I haven't, cacao butter sold in bulk bins. Cacao butter is sold in plastic bags. However, we still recycle those plastic bags, and it was one of my ideas that when we are camping, or if we're going on a long bike ride, or we're doing something together.
Or making a sale of chocolates.
We use those empty plastic bags. Sometimes we buy a large bag of bulk dates, organic dates, from Costco. Which, you know, is not the greatest thing because it's coming in a plastic bag. But I always find a way to reuse every single one of those plastic bags, whether it be packaging up homemade chocolates that I'm selling to a customer
and
I'm putting in a bag, or some celery or some cucumber that I'm bringing up to Ryan.
We're reducing the chain of
upcycling.
We're
not just throwing it in the landfill.
We're not just recycling the plastic
attempting to, you know, use it.
We
upcycle.
Use it at least once, and then we recycle the bag.
So we do, yes, occasionally buy plastic, but it's mostly
we try to
a
keep
coerced
very,
force.
Very, very minimal. And
some of it's pleasure. I mean, like the
if
dates.
If you ever have extra plastic bags and you can no longer use them for food purposes, hand them all over to your boy Nate. I have a giant dog who does business, and I can still use those.
Nice.
Okay.
Excellent. Yeah.
And we're talking about like not like clear like plastic bags that you purposefully buy to package stuff. We're talking about things like a 3-pound bag of chia seeds that come in a plastic Ziploc bag.
But this is we won't spend too much more time on plastic, but there is incredible potential coming out with plant-based plastics, quote-unquote plant-based plastics. And these, for example, I've bought in the past bio-based trash can liners. And, you know, it was coming from corn, and that's kind of a hairy issue, right? But instead of producing mass amount of corn to feed a lot of cows and interesting issues, but potentially one day we could use all the plastic that is trying to be upcycled, trying to be, you know, redistributed into, you know, into things that could be reused longer.
I see.
And so she actually pulled out her cacao butter bags here, and they're beautiful. And we use them to redistribute chocolate goodies
Or even raw, vegan, gluten-free cakes, too. We try our very hardest. Ryan actually developed a new house rule for the two of us. We no longer buy nut or seed butters. We must make them ourselves. because it's contributing to even another glass jar and the printing process of the labeling, the ink, the paper that goes into the jar.
This is a moderate, a mediation. We're trying to slow down the consumption of mainstream Western culture.
No, and I love it. Yeah, I mean, you guys do such a phenomenal job. I really don't know anyone else who's on point as much as the two of you.
Did you know that about us? About the
I knew some of these things. Okay. And that's what always, like, sparked my interest in why, honestly, you guys both inspire me so much. Just, I mean, when I first met you both, like, a year ago, I think this was brought up then, even.
Interesting.
Briefly, like, in passing. Hmm. Yeah. And ever since then, I've been trying to, like, upcycle what I can, reuse as much as I can until it's no longer reusable, and just buying less. Sometimes I go into the grocery store and, like, just very similar to you, I just, more for, like, bigger bulk items, like, like fruits or vegetables, I'll just bring in my own thing. I haven't gotten to the point where
your own canvas bag, right?
Yeah,
super important, too.
Canvas is really awesome.
Super important. When you go into the grocery store, even at the farmer's market, don't pull a plastic or paper grocery bag. Bring your own canvas bag. Make your own canvas bag. Go to a material store and sew it yourself.
Yeah, it's another way
to... Or find a friend that knows how to sew, and they'll sew you a bag.
Also, it tastes better. When you resensitize your palate and go into fasting mode, which we'll talk about today, you can taste the difference of things that are stored in plastic, for especially if it's exposed to heat.
One quick thing, and then we'll jump on. So, yeah, to the point of... Sometimes if you absolutely have to and you have no choice, you would use the plastic or whatever.
Right, especially when traveling, and that's a whole
This one time I was shopping and I was like, fuck, I forgot. You know, I forgot my shit. And so I grabbed one of those, like, produce bags, but I put all of my produce, like, even though you're not supposed to, like, all the mixes, like, I put my zucchini and my mushrooms and my lemon all in one bag. And then I weighed it out separately, like, later.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I had to, but then I used that bag. I used it for some trail mix later on hiking.
Awesome, awesome.
And then it got a little ruined through that hiking trip, so I used it, like I said, for my dog's business.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, also,
I
believe in not, like, leaving her stuff in public spots, you know. I do know that pet excrement creates disease and spreads disease. So I was trying to be conscious on that level as well. And the entire time I was like...
What your dog is eating, though.
No, but pathogens are fine.
Okay.
Yeah, and just like the flies and the maggots that are attracted.
It's the extra critters that come with it.
Mm-hmm. So cool. Yeah, Ronan, let's talk about some good fuel. Let's talk about good ways to energize these meat bodies of ours.
Some good fuel. Let's start fundamentally. Let's start simple.
Okay.
Dose yourself with good quality fats, okay? Yes, we could talk about the fat, carbohydrate, protein spectrum as far as the distribution of what you want. But one key thing for solid cognitive functioning and fluidity in your joints and just wide range functionality is eating really good quality, minimally processed, if not preferably actually raw fats. The avocados, obviously the olive oil, olives.
Have you guys experimented with avocado oil?
Yes. Yeah. And that's what we currently cook with because we ran out of olive oil, and avocado oil actually burns at a higher temperature.
So if you're
cooking something, in a pan or a pot and you need it to be lightly oiled, avocado oil and macadamia nut oil, which is something that we currently had. I think you had last night, I think.
Okay.
I think you did. Or maybe you do today. Anyways, things don't burn as quickly. Your pot doesn't get ruined either. Therefore, if your pot doesn't get ruined, you have to use less dish soap and you have to use less of another resource, less water.
So we're trying to avoid free radicals. Let's be clear about this. You ask what are good fuel sources? Well, stick with the raw regime as much as possible. Now, when we cook, quote unquote, we are barely
get the braising. Plant hot, put the stuff on, and then take it off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She eats kale raw, as do I, or she'll blend it. Or maybe we heat up the water, just do ever slow, you know, I don't know what the temperature exactly, the water kettles, but occasionally we'll heat up water. in a water kettle, and we'll have a raw vegetable medley cut, and we'll place the water over it. Just let it sit for a little bit. Let that do the cooking for you. Mm. There's certain, as we talked about.
And then put the lid on the mason jar and give it a shake up and down. And let it sit for a little bit. Yeah. Something that I actually only started doing because of the very small space that I'm in. But I'm actually very happy that I started doing that. Even when I had full access to a kitchen, I would boil water and I would let it sit for a little bit. And then I would put my vegetables in and not have the stove on and only let it sit for a little bit.
So it's energy saving, it's time saving. It's energy saving, it's time saving. A lot of us don't have the time to be in there an hour or more. So, but yet you still want to get those solid greens in your diet. Blending's one way. Heating up the water from a water kettle is another way. Of course, doing the raw salads are nice, too. That's one of my favorites.
And also drinking, I think I've gotten Ryan started on this, and Emma and Kevin, they really appreciated this once, is that when you are steaming some spinach or some kale, you drink the kale water.
I was going to ask you. I was going to say, what are you doing with that water?
The vegetable broth. You use it in a soup, or you give it to your houseplants, or you give it to the soil outside, always.
I like it.
Yes.
Always.
And if you want a little spice with it, okay. You're not happy with how the spinach water tastes. Sometimes I'm not, depending on the certain
bitters. Throw it to the plants outside.
Or put some lemon in it, or ginger, or cayenne. Like, spice it up
and
a little
bit. And drink it like vegetable tea.
Vegetable tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's actually what I was... You guys have been, like, in my head answering my questions as I'm thinking of questions. And then, like, in the next sentence you ask, you answer it.
Synchronicity's third eye open.
We're connected to that community of consciousness, so...
Awesome.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, so that water, I've heard, like, when you do stuff like that, maybe some of the minerals or the nutrients come off the little veggies.
Yeah.
And are you drinking the water to retain the nutrients?
As Nate's talking, my partner is doing that right now.
Literally.
With one of her present concoctions. Again, we're trying to pull all the nutrients from the whole range of the plant that are beneficial, but also block out the little bad guys. And again, that's why we do process some vegetables, is because they do have the calcium oxalates and they do have some other elements in there that are a little rough on your digestive system, for example. Eating raw broccoli is kind of rough sometimes. So, so eating the raw food is incredibly important, and eating the really colorful raw food is very important because... fighting the free radicals of all the things that we experience throughout the day, through the working our mechanical jobs, is a way to just really alleviate joint issues and maintain good muscle mass and have good cardiovascular activity in general. But antioxidants, eating the raw purples and reds and greens. If you want specific foods, we'd have to get more specific to what diet someone's looking for.
And even though Ryan really, really promotes high-quality raw fats, I would like to take note of also being aware of the climate and the environment in which you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Out of experimentation, one day it was exceptionally, like, totally out of the blue, extremely hot and humid. And I started my day that morning with, a really, really fatty, like, cashew fruit cheesecake that I had made myself. And the day got more increasingly hotter and hotter, and I continued to eat high-quality fats throughout that day. And my body personally felt plugged and stuck, and I felt like I was swimming in a pool of almond butter.
So she's speaking about adapting to local climate change. Yes. And right now we're incredibly dry, so thank you for bringing that up, actually. Mm-hmm. I've had to temper my fat down, and others as well, because ketogenic states, which one gets into with very high fat content, as we've talked about, is good, but is it sustainable? That's questionable, and that we'll say that for another day, but... when you are in a very drought-stricken area, it is important to increase the hydrating fruits and vegetables, the tomatoes, you know. Again,
watermelon, cucumber.
Trying to eat low glycemic hydrating fruits and vegetables is key there, though. Too don't eat several oranges, right? Because oranges are not. They're
so sweet.
Yeah, they're beautiful, so sweet, and they're totally beautiful.
As with mangoes,
Things like that, like
not local too.
Yeah, so eating the hydrating carbohydrates again is incredibly important. Low glycemic though, you know, and brain food too, like tomatoes. They're low glycemic. They're hydrating. And
name some really good like brain foods that are good for, because I know like our brains are made of mostly fat, and they
sunflower seed butter, homemade sunflower seed butter
for brain.
Yeah. Coconut oil.
Indeed, yeah.
Lots of hype.
I could attest to the coconut olives, oil for sure.
Olives. Cashews.
Would you say the black olives or the Kalamata olives? Or
all olives.
Greek olives? Okay.
All olives.
Yeah.
But olives, obviously, that are local.
Local.
From a local farmer, which especially at a farmer's market.
Right, which we can do because we have a Mediterranean climate.
I really like the idea of local because I'm sure you guys feel the same way, that it just like connects you more to the area you're living in.
It does. And actually, Santa Cruz has a beautiful microclimate shifts that you can actually grow even tropical stuff. I know that sounds crazy, but we do have a region called the Banana Belt where you can grow that stuff.
Well, it's actually, I actually heard about this on this 10-day journey I went on. It's the ocean breeze air and the elevation, how much elevation we have, like coupled with the breeze coming in off the ocean. And it just makes the wonderful climate so that we can grow these things.
Yeah, and to further...
We saw some passion fruit the other day.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, it's... We have some really just vibrant varietals here in cultivars in Santa Cruz because of these microclimates and that kind of thing. But to finish the brain, this is very important, the brain food stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Eating the really tiny, beautiful little seeds from hemp or from sesame. My God, if you can blend those into your mixes, and my partner does... The amazing sustainable cognitive function that you don't need to necessarily eat meat with a bunch of fat to get that. No, these little tiny seeds are beautiful.
Hemp seeds are chock full of protein.
Especially if you process them into butter, because sometimes if you notice when you're on the toilet in the morning or in the middle of the day, all the hemp seeds come out of your bottom part of yourself.
Yes.
So if you process the hemp seeds into a butter or into a savory smoothie.
Our soak, for example, chia seeds. Mm-hmm. You could soak them.
I do love chia seeds.
Your body will soak up all the nutrition much more. Sesame seeds are very, very, very tiny.
Right.
And if you grind sesame seeds in a food processor, you'll get tahini. Tahini.
Oh.
That's what tahini comes from. Tahini is just ground sesames. I don't know why, like, the word switches, like, why you don't say sesame.
Just ground sesame.
Yeah.
Or ground sesame, but it's actually from...
And geez, I'm touching my lower gut right now because the lower intestines, to have the bioavailability of the nutrients that you're after, you do need to do some processing. And again, this is what we're talking about, is blending it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Slightly heating up or soaking in it so that the microbiome down here in the lower region, the intestines, have the ability to transfer the nutrients in and out, push out the bad stuff, bring in the good prebiotics and probiotics, which just ties into prebiotics, onions, the garlics, the onion family in general, great prebiotics. And then, of course, the probiotics, right? Your kimchi, you can ferment cabbage. You can do the dairy thing if you want, hopefully grass-fed, you know, that whole nine. Having the good dynamic equilibrium between the prebiotics and probiotics, coupled with timing, knowing when to eat things, and that gets more advanced, like, stages of health. But it is important to feed the intestines, to give it the right feel to block out, push out the bad things through your bowel movements and all the other fun things. Through your sweat, but also allow for nutrient absorption. And one key intrinsic important factor we haven't talked about yet is sunlight.
Sunlight.
God, take off your shirt. Get naked. Go
out
there.
Go to the naked beach.
Absorb that vitamin D. Was it you guys that told me? I heard this somewhere that I want to say it was you guys just because I love learning from you two. But that obviously vitamin D is super beneficial, but it absorbs better through your genital areas. It's like the absorption is at a higher rate. So you get the...
We could speak to that.
I actually felt that very recently. Ryan and I developed a new hobby over the summertime. We go on naked, intimate hikes together in the wilderness.
Nice.
Yes.
It's actually even greater than skinny dipping for me. That's what it feels like.
Wow. Yes.
And if you I exposed my female genitals to the sunlight. We sunbathed naked too after we retired from walking. And, I mean, perhaps I had a bias because my genitals are not accustomed and exposed to sunlight on a regular basis, but it did feel like my female part, my vagina,
yes,
actually felt like she was receiving much more sunlight than the rest
and
of my body.
And the penis, felt like it was receiving it, he was receiving it more so than my body. And it could be, again, we're not as exposed as we wish we could be. I would love to walk out naked.
Sure. And I would love to be that comfortable.
Yeah.
It's
one day, maybe.
One day, maybe. I actually was challenged on that a little bit earlier today, but...
Oh, beautiful, yeah.
We should do that together as a group.
We will. We will
and
do that.
We want to.
This is on air, by the way, so we'll have to revisit this, but this is good. We want to do this as a group because of how passionate we are for vitamin D. And by the way, it is not just a vitamin. Actually, it's more appropriate to call it a steroid hormone. Hmm. It is so powerful, so synergistic in its effect.
And natural.
And natural, that without it, you are in trouble.
I mean, think about it. Like, people who are, like, basically told by their physicians, like, take these vitamin D pills. It's because they're not out and doing things and, like, being active in the sun. I know you love the sun.
Oh, God, indeed we do. And some key, really quick, pragmatic things to do: expose the biggest surface area to your body. Go out between 10 to 2 if you can. Mm. The UVB rays are so easily absorbable. Those are the good guys. Those are the ones that really do the synergistic, intra-accommodative effects in your gut that you want with the nutrients. And it is tied to bone strength. It is tied to immune system. It is tied to so many absorption of different nutrients. It's very important. I can't stress that enough. Vitamin D. And this ties into cognitive functioning. It ties into eating those high-quality fats and lubricating your skin so that it has that nice layer so you don't need the sunscreen, right? This is all tied together.
And also spiritually, too. The sun is... Everything that Ryan said about the sunlight and vitamin D, I can say, is very true. But the sun, to me, is also a spiritual entity. And I've said this to a few close friends, and I think even to you at Kevex once in Bonnie Doon, in which the sunlight... The sunlight for me, of course, it's a star, right? But it's also very spiritual. I believe that the sun is the heart of the creator that created the world in which we live in and breathe in. And the sun is shining for us day in and day out because she loves us. And it's her heart rays, her beams of love onto us. And if it wasn't for the sun, we would not be able to thrive. We would not be able to have these functioning bodies.
And from, yeah.
And that's, I mean, that is 100% true. Literally nothing could do anything with the sun. And, like, even the food that we eat,
yes,
it processes certain, like, gamma rays and radiation mm-hmm. that our bodies can't just directly right. absorb straight.
We wouldn't be able to eat sesame seeds. We wouldn't mm-hmm. be able to eat cashew butter if it wasn't for the sun.
Yeah, and I was getting a picture of, as she was talking, the interaction of the sun to the human body, that it actually does lower your blood pressure. Again, that's another good effect for putting the flesh body out into the sun. The sun beating on you is also helping your breathing. Mm. And this, the skin is the largest organism, and it likes to be touched and fondled and handled, and the sun is just a great, one of the greatest ways to bless your body.
I mean, there's definitely an expression, like something like to the tune of, you know, like the sun's dancing on my skin, and you can feel it. Like if you're sitting in the shade for me, you go out of the shade and you lay down in the sun, like your skin feels more like vibrant
and alive, yeah. Vivacious.
And honestly, we're talking about moderate exposure here. Okay, there's a level for everybody, and vitamin D production is, and you can test this on yourself, is maxed out as soon as whatever shade color you are, whether it's pink to purple, as soon as that shade is a hue darker. And you touch your skin and you feel the stickiness factor, you're done. You go in, either cover up or go in and do it again another day. Rinse, repeat, you know, kind of thing. And you can, this is coming from, the speaker was a very pasty white person in England. I lived there for 3 years. Mood quality, cognitive functioning, flow out there with the body. It is all tied to vitamin D, my friend.
Absolutely. Let's see, what else we got? So I wrote down also, I think we talked about food health. Did we talk about food structure?
I think we touch. So I want to make sure we touch on cradle to cradle.
Okay.
Mentality with food. And I think that Lale talked about a lot about where we get our food sources, how we distribute that food. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could talk about the end cycle of that as well, how it's processed, where that's Lale is definitely way more versed in the processing of food.
As a side note, Ryan was saying earlier how it's important to eat homemade processed food, lightly cooked food, but something that I think he forgot to mention is that it's also important to still chew and crunch and have that crunch factor in your food. Because if you're only drinking savory smoothies and if you're drinking liquid juice, your mind is not paying attention to the fact that what you're actually eating. So it's also important to crunch throughout your day as you're eating to make sure that you're not only drinking. If you're on a liquid fast, that's a totally different story. Mm-hmm. But if you're engaging in food culture throughout the day, you should be crunching too and gnawing into something.
And there's science behind this. She's talking about mindful eating, but there's science behind the catalyst conversion of starting with carbohydrates, for example. The catalyst starts, the enzyme, the nutrient absorption starts in your mouth. And so good chewing is very important.
I was going to say the whole crunch factor is super important. It's actually like our body needs the crunch, like physiologically, because a lot of junk food is scientifically developed to crunch a certain way so that it tricks your body into thinking you're eating
a Snickers nice, bar, maybe, for example.
Which is sad, because Snickers you could eat some cacao nibs and some blueberries and walnuts.
Yeah, walnuts.
I mean, there's definitely healthy things to snack on. Mm-hmm. You don't need the potato chip that's been lab tested to feel and sound like a juicy green apple while you're biting into it.
Oh, that's sad. But yeah, the marketing and advertising behind that.
It's very sad, very real.
So cradle to cradle, cradle to cradle, how we eat food, starting with the mindfulness, trying to sit down together. It doesn't happen all the time. We try to sit down together, and talk a little bit, you know, do some eye gazing, but chewing it mindfully, enjoying all the flavors, let it kind of swim around in your mouth, and take your time. Like
Ryan is a complete pro at enjoying every single flavor.
How long did it take me last? I think we all are. How long did it take me last night to eat half of an avocado?
you're killing me here.
Nate maybe is runner up. I think half an avocado last night.
Well, I'm just part of the mindset that the more you chew it, the less your intestines have to work, and it's a much better nutrient absorption.
Indeed, and we're trying to help the organs out in the body, give them time to rest too at night. And so fasting is important too. The not eating super late at night, which that's actually my most difficult thing that I struggle with. But you know, I'm a very active guy, and sometimes I like to reward myself at the end of a day. The starting with the mindful eating obviously is important, and then being very aware of your bowel movements, like looking at the consistency, hoping that it's nice and smooth and you're not on the toilet all the time.
You want it to just, you know, come out with minimal effort, and floaters are better than sinkers. And I mean, this got brought up last night, is, seeing the other end of it is just as important as seeing the front end of it.
Definitely. Definitely.
I mean, it is because it's like, what I'll do is I'll check it. I'm not like there with a microscope and some forceps, but like I'll do a quick once glance over and I'll be like, okay, I ate this, you know, this time yesterday. And I've heard it takes about 24 hours for something to fully go through.
Yeah, that's variant on how strong the hydrogen chain is on the fat that you eat, for example.
Okay.
Also, how active you are. I mean, there's wide flexibility. I mean, that might be a decent rule of thumb, 24 hours. But, metabolism has a huge role in that. Meat takes a lot longer to digest in general because of all the different materials involved there.
If you're eating enough fruit throughout the day.
Yeah, yeah.
You probably will have more bowel movements. I said that a little bit low. If you're eating enough fruit throughout the day, you'll probably have a little bit more bowel movements.
Right, right. Fruit fast sometimes are important.
I've done that. I've totally did that.
How was that?
It was a 3-day fruit fast, and
wow.
I don't know if I felt great afterwards. So I don't know the validity or the how. I don't know. So I don't know, like, how authentic, or I don't really, I can't think of the word, but basically I found this diet online. And it was like, eat as much as you want, whatever, but it has to be fruit.
Yes.
And for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt really clean afterwards. I felt, like, a little lighter.
Indeed. Did you poop every day?
Throughout
the day?
I mean.
More than once?
Like, twice a day.
There actually is a lot of historical literature on fruit fasting.
Okay.
When you dive into it.
Okay.
And this was brought to a lot of Northern European people when they were eating a lot of meats and things
and dairy and
even grains at one point, that different holistic doctors, naturopaths and all these kinds of things, looked at new diets and forms of fasting. And so fruit fasting came in for, like, very northern latitude people that had too heavy material, a lot of animal material. Mm-hmm. And it does do the job, but I prefer fasting without fruit, with water fasting.
Give me one of your... You touched briefly on it yesterday. Tell me your fasts.
Fast. Both Lale and I conduct fasting on our bodies. I do so fairly... regimen. It's not a regimen, but the structure is basically 4 times a year, once each season, and I try to do it around the seasonal changes, as a way to resensitize the palate.
That's why I do it too.
So for both of us, is to resensitize our palate. It's also to give the body a break from the consumption mode.
And for me too, I hold on to a lot more water weight sometimes than Ryan, and sometimes if I feel like I have too much soup broth in my system, it's appropriate for me to fast. Yeah. And when I fast, I definitely drink filtered water throughout the day and herbal teas. And once I get to the point in which I feel like I can't have a conversation with Ryan anymore, or I can't physically, like, walk and sit down and go pee on the toilet, then it's time for me to start eating again.
Yeah, so she's speaking of the how hardcore sometimes...
Like, the duration of the fast.
The duration. She's also, if I may, you're kind of new with fasting, relatively.
Yeah.
So we should speak of that when one does practice fasting, they should be aware that toxins are being released out of their body. And Lale has very little toxins, but there's still an energy curve there. So if you're a beginner faster, I don't know how you'd say it.
A beginner at fasting?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
If you're beginning with fasting, you definitely need to do a very short term and do it during the time when you don't have a lot going on. Don't do it when you have a physical activity schedule.
Or school.
Yeah. Or
a heavy work week. Mm-hmm. You know, do it on a vacation time.
Vacations are great.
Especially when you don't need to use a lot of cognitive energy,
yes.
too.
Labor Day weekend's coming up. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So people should fast over that weekend. Don't barbecue.
Yeah, why not?
just drink water throughout the weekend. Mm-hmm. And when you physically feel...
There's a reason why particular religions, too, I think, fast.
Yeah,
too.
Sure.
Spiritually, scientifically, and... Mm. Biomechanically too. Before we end, Ryan, do you want to talk about the issues with gluten and refined sugar?
God, you guys are in my head. I was literally going to transition to that.
Excellent. We have a little synchronization.
Just before we end.
Okay. So we have, I guess, a few more minutes. And
yeah.
We want to talk about something, and I think we touched enough on fasting. If you want more information, we can give you show notes, as Nate will do. Because that's one of my favorite subjects. But the other most important thing in our life right now, Lale and I, is raising awareness about the detriments of sugar. This is a drug that is so abused, and we both know in our lives, because we have very intimate people close to us that suffer from the effects of sugar.
We're discussing sugar as the refined form, that white, powdery ickiness, the brown...
Not the glucose that comes from vegetables.
And not the glucose and the sugar that comes from fruit and figs and watermelon.
We're basically talking about the white devil.
The white powdery muck and the brown...
Yeah.
Sandy
the
stuff that is not cacao powder.
What I call the bootleg Scarface white snuff.
The white snuff.
I mean, I'm talking about the way... The levels of how much white processed sugar... people take is equivalent to what Scarface did in the movie. Al Pacino, one of my favorite actors, sniffed the lines of coca, right? People are essentially sniffing lines of sugar throughout their day, and they are creating tremendous aberrant conditions on their body.
And the very sad thing is, too, is that some people are not even aware that they're eating huge amounts of refined sugar every day, because they're buying a bunch of processed packaged ingredients, and they are not mindful for one reason or another to actually read the ingredient list on that product that they're eating.
And so the effects of sugar, we can have a whole list right now. I can literally point to 100 different things or more that are directly tied to sugar.
I mean, I've literally heard from scientists that it's as addictive as like heroin. And it's got, and when you, if you cold turkey sugar, it could have similar effects when you're, as if you were cold turkeying heroin.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
very insane.
And that's happened to me in my own life where I lashed out at others. I literally had to isolate myself when I tried to pull away from the sugar culture that I was raised in. And so how do we solve that? How do we solve that as a society and personally?
This is something that I've been thinking about about a few months ago. Does that mean that we people are planted on every area around the globe and somehow facilitate conversation or sit in cafes or talk to people at grocery stores? Not standing outside of a grocery store, but walking throughout a grocery store and just having a conversation as you see someone pass by, pull something sugary off a shelf.
Yeah.
Do you talk to the distributor? Do you talk to the buyer of the grocery store? But it is something that I personally, with my own art practice that I do, have been trying to solve on a very low scale basis. I make raw, vegan, refined, sugar-free, gluten-free chocolates. I also make raw, vegan, gluten-free, refined, sugar-free cakes and cookies. And I make them for friends. I make them for Ryan's Heart. Yeah. And I also sell them to a local community in Santa Cruz.
So the solution with what she's talking about is satiating you without saturating you with white sugar, right?
With
right.
fogginess.
Satiating you without sapping you of energy, which is what sugar does, the energy peak curve.
Absolutely. It's like this faux like adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. And then your body's like, wait a second, that wasn't real. This isn't like real natural chemicals going on.
Right. And we could all attest it. And the chocolates that she's talking about have directly contributed to certain people in this area that struggle with sugar. I have seen it in their face when they have come to purchase some of Lale's chocolates, how much vibrance was in their cheeks and their face and their expression, that they had found a way to break away from the sugar cave that they're in, right? Because it's essentially a cave. I've been there for years, maybe 20 years, actually, sadly. And so solutions are satiating yourself with the great quality fats, right? Throwing them into the mix.
And great quality sources that came from the earth.
Yeah.
That you can source local raw honey.
Absolutely. A lot of people don't realize like the process that food goes through when it, they just, they're like, I gotta go get some food, let's go to the grocery
and
store, and they don't think about like
the
whole like path it took to get there.
There's a groundedness in what she's talking about, the eating the local biodynamic honey, and then we can explain biodynamic to viewers if you want.
Actually, do you guys know Joseph Haggard?
Yes.
Him and I are going to do an entire extensive episode on biodynamics.
Oh my goodness.
We're both personally friends of Joseph Haggard. And
hi, Joe.
Yeah. we want to give a shout out to Joe. He's had a huge influence on a lot of people as far as what kind of foods to eat and the environmental impact of those foods. And so the optimal way, right, to tie things in, the optimal way to break addiction from sugar, to have a super high quality life, happiness, and health, is to attempt to get back to source, to get back to the biodynamic, holistic approach of life. And that is respecting all the creatures that help pollinate and produce the high quality foods that we eat, giving back to them. If you can compost, there's rich hummus, whatever you want to call it, it goes back into the vegetables and back into your body, and then you give it back to the earth. That is a foundation for you. If you cannot garden, then support the Joseph Haggards, support the farmers out there near you, give back to them, right? And you're alleviating so many issues with the food distribution chain, and you're also healing your body, and you're also breaking free from the chains that bound you from sugar and
right. other. And I've also seen it in my customers and my friends and family members. People are so surprised. I've had customers that I have sold raw chocolate to, And sometimes they'll eat it from me right from that reusable bag that I use.
I was going to say right out of your hand.
Yeah. No, right out of that reusable cacao butter bag. And they are so surprised and their eyes get so big and they say, "How did you do this? How is there not sugar in this?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, I use fruit, you know, and maca powder is pretty
and figs.
Sweet.
We got to shout out to figs really quick if you like figs.
California figs, yeah." Mm-hmm. People are so surprised.
I mean, I could attest. I had one of your chocolates last night.
Just last night. It was sprouted hazelnut butter vanilla date chocolate.
So amazing.
Gluten is an issue, too. But I think gluten, just before we end, Nate, gluten is something sensitive, just like the dairy industry. I think the argument can go both ways. Gluten, Ryan and I do not have celiac disease, but we're very aware of the way that food makes us feel. And, you know, we've ate pasta together, we've ate pizza together, gluten pizza. We've ate gluten chicken, a chicken that was eating gluten. And we're very aware of the way in which it makes us feel. And after we eat something gluten, we feel very heavy.
Slogged down
and stuck. Yeah. How else does it make you feel, Ryan?
Yeah, just slower in movement. Cognitive capacity is not firing as high, I'll tell you that right now. When you go to this holistic diet, it's hard to go back.
And it's also hard culturally, too. My father is Turkish, my mother is Italian, and gluten and is totally ingrained. That's funny. It's double
ingrained.
Yeah. Into their culture. They like bread. They like pasta. They like Italian focaccia. And it's really hard to get people to break away and just experiment. It's hard to get some folks to really just experiment with their diet. And one of the very beautiful things about Santa Cruz and this part of California that we live in is people are very experimental. They will try a fruit fast. They will try fasting. They will try what it feels like to go without dairy for 2 weeks.
They will go to co-partnership kitchens and go to events of local chefs that throw together amazing concoctions. And that's another industry, too, that's growing. Support your local chefs, too, the ones that collaborate and they rent out kitchen space and they throw together some amazing
Zachary
things.
Mazzi, Lionfish Supper Club. Shout out to Lionfish Supper Club.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want names of farmers that we support, I'm happy to throw names out in show notes or whatever.
Real quick. Yeah. Why don't you just give a few people that you know that you want to support? Actually, no, let's do this real quick. Then we'll go into shout outs and plugs. So I want to touch on that just because of my eye self, which is, one day I woke up and I was like, wow, I haven't eaten any gluten in like 3 weeks. I didn't plan this. It just kind of happened. And, I maintained that for a while. Snaps all around. And then like one day I think I was stuck and like there was no food in the house and I had no resources to go get food, but there was bread. So I made like a little sandwich and, really wasn't feeling it at work the next day. Like, I have a very fast-paced job where I have to walk and keep up a good hustle. And I just felt like I couldn't even walk fast. Like, I was, like, trudging along.
Owie.
And anyway.
So it's important. Ultimately, it's very important to be aware of the way in which food makes you feel.
Yes.
Food is spiritual.
And experiment with it. If you're really attached to refined sugar, try not to be. Something that I need to do very, very soon is to try not to be so attached to cacao. but that won't happen.
Right away.
The perpetual tricks and traps of pleasure, the instrument of sensation is always undergoing the brain, right? The mindfulness, the listening to your body. Even Lale and I, we have our struggles, and cacao is definitely one of those things where I personally have to cycle off of it because it is a superfood. It is, and it's very mild.
It's a superfood. It's not refined.
One should be careful with superfoods too. And adaptogens, really quickly, if you're taking adaptogens, some are on my shelf as I'm eyeing them over there, but be careful with those. Cycle off of adaptogens.
So. And I would also say everything in moderation, however.
Including moderation?
No. However, sugar. Yeah. Sugar is not something that is okay to have in moderation.
Yeah, except for the things that are in extremity.
There is no actual nutrient property in which you need to include refined sugar into your diet. It does absolutely nothing for you. When you're on that trail, are you going to, and you're backpacking, you've been hiking with your heavy backpack for almost 11 miles in the
your body wants
sun.
Glucose first.
And is that's your body going to want to grab that, like, white, like, refined wheat,
no.
refined
it wants greens.
Sugar in donut fact. With a bunch of, like, white, sugary sprinkles on it? No.
No.
And if you haven't had that experiment yet, go and do it.
Right.
If you're addicted to sugar, go on a backpacking trip
go
with
on a
your
hike.
Friends.
Bring a candy bar and bring an apple.
Even there, just there for go. A day. And eat both. Really,
yeah.
eat both.
See how it feels.
And see how it feels. And the next time you do it, if you ate the candy bar first, eat the fruit first and see how you feel.
Mm.
Right.
And you might be surprised that you might actually not even want the candy bar for the rest of the day.
And she's also speaking to why people eat that. A lot of it is to feed the emotional pain body
emotional.
And not the physiological frame, not the human body. It's to feel the emotional pain body.
Yeah.
And
just take a step back from your emotions. Let's listen to the body instead of what you think you're thinking. So let's just do a quick summary. Biohacking is commendable. I would encourage anyone to biohack. The easiest thing that I started doing was just to get rid of the bad things in my life was to introduce healthy things. And as you introduce the healthy things, the bad things just kind of fall off
yes.
to the wayside. That's the easiest way to go about it.
Fully
some people are badasses and they will cold turkey everything in their life and start eating healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what other takeaways do we have?
Well, I want to further bolster what you just said that, yeah, it is a study show across the board that sensitive incrementalism is the way to go for the body. Otherwise, abrupt changes make it very difficult for the thousands of years of evolution in the human body to sustainably hold on to those new paradigms. So yes, I agree with you. Sensitive incrementalism.
Because otherwise you relapse.
Right. And again, do you want to trade one trick for another trick?
Yeah.
And it's such a funny game, right? But that's very important. Cycling off and sensitively incrementally introducing quality foods to supplement, to refill and satiate those things that you were once filling with the aberrant chemicals.
Absolutely. And also, okay, so on recap, try to find the source. If you're not growing the food yourself, try to find the farmer. Try to find, if the farmer's farther away, I know that sometimes you pick up produce from Santa Barbara. You know them, though. Like, you've conversed with them,
mm-hmm.
and you know how they're doing their thing. See what kind of anti-pests they're using, if it's chemical or natural.
Find out if they use integrated pest management. Very important. Trying to work with the bugs and the bees to help your food. Definitely. And the farmers are intimately tied to this. They know the smells, the flora, the fauna. They can tell you these things.
Okay.
Stay grounded with your food and also with yourself.
Yeah, don't just be shoveling food in. Think about how it's going to affect you. Think about it before you eat it.
Yeah.
And then, as you're eating it and as you're processing it, think about how you're feeling from it. It's a fuel.
Yes.
The fullness, the feeling of fullness is a reaction that takes some time.
I just came up with an excellent analogy I never thought of. In America, we use octane 87 in our cars. In European countries, they use octane like 108, and their air quality is so much better because they're putting quality fuel into their quality vehicles.
Yes.
Take care of your vehicle. This body we're in is a spaceship. We use it to traverse time and space. Think of it like that, and think of it as the fuel. The food is the fuel to maneuver this body of ours.
Definitely.
Okay. Ronan, you're familiar with this. I'm going to ask a quick question.
Okay.
I kind of didn't pick this randomly, but I kind of did. So the question for both of you is, at a meal, your friends start belittling a common acquaintance. If you felt their criticisms were unjustified, would you defend the person in question?
Yeah. If their statements were unjustified.
Say, I don't think this would happen, but say that one of our friends who isn't in the room with us right now came up as a topic of discussion, and maybe two of the three of us were kind of like talking down on that person. Would you, as the third person, defend that person because that person in question isn't there to defend themselves?
Let me be clear about this. I would not necessarily defend somebody, but I would I would try to near objectively speak on their behalf, in the sense, if I feel that someone's train of thought, the reasoning was skewed on that particular person, I would love to bring that up to the group.
I would be personally very inquisitive. Recently, something just came up yesterday, actually, that happened to one of us. Mm-hmm. And there was someone that was not in the room, and I was hearing conversation about what happened, and I wasn't defensive. I was more so very inquisitive, and my curiosity was for trying to figure out both sides of the argument. So I wouldn't say that would be defensive. I would definitely be more inquisitive, but I tend not to be someone that gossips.
Right.
It's not healthy energy.
And that's what we're trying to avoid. And so it's an attempt at, we're peacekeepers. We're attempting anyways to keep the peace of the whole group. So yeah, defending someone, respecting that person that you know and their train of thought and their outlook on something. Yes. We're trying to hold honor to their outlook.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I'm normally the person who's like, hey, I know you guys probably feel, not you guys, but whoever, I'm sure you all feel very strongly about the way you feel at the moment. However, this person that you feel strongly about right now isn't here to speak on their own behalf. So until that such a time where we can all convene, why don't we switch topics and talk about something more pleasant that's more productive or more emotionally satisfying mm-hmm. than dwelling on something.
More energy conducive.
Yeah. Energy conducive.
Yes.
Quality relationships.
So guys, we have to go. So what we're going to do is just kind of give our last final shout outs and say goodbye. We've mentioned that Lale over here is a wonderful, she's a master in the kitchen. So, you have a business.
I do. It's very local. And like I said, I make a bunch of raw delights. Recently my soups have been up for trade. I've traded, my raw soups for local eggs, but my raw delights are up for sale, and pricing can range as something as little as $2 all the way up to $35 or $40, depending on how big of an order you want. And if you would, any of you would ever like some raw, vegan, gluten-free, refined, sugar-free chocolate or cake or cookies, send me a message at facebook.com/LALEYASEMIN. That's Lale Yasemin. facebook.com/LaleYasemin. If you're in the Santa Cruz area or the surrounding area, I will find a way to meet with you, and your taste buds and your gut bacteria will be making sexual intercourse to my food. And Ryan loves that. And Ryan can definitely attest to that. He is my guinea pig. I think a lot of his friends would say that he's probably a very, very lucky guy, as I am a very lucky girl, because as I feed Ryan and nurture him and treat him well, he has been treating my body exceptionally well, and he helps me with strengthening, and we're a good juicy pair.
Very synergistic relationship with the health and the fitness.
Definitely.
Ronan, I've given your email before.
Yeah.
Would that be cool if I drive some more traffic if people have, like, I don't know, fuel questions or just biomechanic questions?
Please, yeah. Again, Facebook. Just look me up. Facebook, Ronan Sosa. It's RoninSouza. That's Ronan Sosa. Again, rasouza at ucse.edu. If you want to email me, but if you have any questions regarding holistic health practices or different body modalities, please, it's a passion of mine and my partners here, and it's a collaborative sort of event here, and we're trying to support those that are doing the greatest for the community. You know, the Route 1 Farms, for example, that's a good place to go to if you want some good produce, and just, you know, just support the people that are out there that actually producing with great social sequencing value. So,
and I know that you mentioned a bunch of local businesses and farmers around here. Is there anything else, anyone else that you wanted to bring up?
I think for time's sake, we'll hold it there. Cool. I would say that please visit the downtown farmers markets on Wednesday.
And so if you're ever in San Jose, go to the Friday Farmers Market at San Pedro Square or the Japantown Farmers Market on Sundays.
And one more quick thing. If you want to see biodynamics at play, first listen to my friend here, his podcast with Joseph Haggard, but also check out Camp Joy in Boulder Creek. Phenomenal 2-acre biodynamic farm. So that you can see a little piece of heaven on earth, because that's essentially what that's doing to your gut when you eat from that food and when you contribute to those kinds of enterprises.
All right. And lastly and not leastly, you can find me, Nate Cubs, at Positive Herpes. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, unfortunately, and Periscope. I'm just not a huge fan of social media, but, you know, got to get the word out somehow. All of my handles are at Positive Herpes. You can go positiveherpes@gmail.com, facebook.com/positiveherpes. And also, if you want to help contribute to the show, hold on. If you want to help contribute to the show, as I've mentioned, I'm not doing sponsorships at the moment. However, you can go to patreon.com/positiveherpes, and there you can see there's different donation options. You can really donate as little as, I think the minimum is a dollar. But you can set a cap on how much you would like to donate per month or per week or even per episode if you like only a specific episode. So go on over to patreon.com/positiveherpes. And, oh man, until next week, stay positive, everyone, and, you know, just keep bettering yourselves.